Starting at verse 9, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all the earth, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof and opening one cubit high all around. Put a door on the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Lord Jesus, thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for this wonderful example of obedience that we find in Noah. I pray that you'd open our hearts and our ears that we might hear from you this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you do your work in our lives. Thank you for the privilege of sharing your word this morning. I pray that you'd receive all glory and honor in your blessed name, Lord. I don't know if you can see back in the back, but I wore a special tie on this occasion. This is a tie of Noah and the ark. At the very bottom are two snakes. I don't know why he took snakes on the ark, but he did. I'm wearing this tie in honor of Noah this morning. Last week, we stated a new endeavor based on the incredible statement in Luke chapter 1 that was made by the angel Gabriel to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Gabriel said to her in response to, well, you're going to have a baby. And her saying, I'm a virgin. I can't have a baby. I'm a virgin. And the Gabriel said, with God, all things are possible. And that is truth. With God, all things are possible. Based on that statement, we are in the process of looking at the different qualities necessary for us all to also to position our lives, to position ourselves, our families, to see the impossible made possible in our own lives. Because God is the same God as when Gabriel went to Mary. God's also the same God as when he spoke to Noah and said, Noah, you better build an ark because it's going to rain. You know, it was a little difficult for Noah to understand because up to that point, it had never rained. It didn't rain. There was a firmament and the dew watered everything. There was no rain. So when he said, it's going to rain, well, what's that? It's going to flood. Well, what's that? I want you to build an ark, a boat. Well, what's that? I don't know what an ark is. That's why God was so specific in how he was to build it. Because Noah was without understanding of what God was talking about. But he was still obedient to what God was saying to do. There are different qualities necessary if we are going to see God work in our lives. And one of those qualities is we must be obedient to God. to him. As we discovered last week, of all of the maidens in Israel, Mary was the one who found favor in the eyes of God. We discussed last week that the reason she found favor in the eyes of God is because she was radically humble. When the angel said, you're going to have a baby, and that's when the Holy Spirit and all of that, Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have spoken. She was willing to do and to submit to everything the angel said. She was the chosen one to be the mother of Mary, or to be the mother of Jesus. Her selection was not one of coincidence. It wasn't that God didn't have any other options. Don't ever think God doesn't have any other options. Of course he has options. But God chose Mary because of her humility, her surrender, her submission to God and to his will in her life. The Greek word that is used in Luke 1 is hupeko. It's an interesting word. It means to surrender. It was often used on the battlefield as a person, a soldier, would be injured, laying on his back without defense, his opponent with a sword at his throat. Surrender. Hupeko. I surrender. No qualifications, no conditions. Complete surrender. I'm at your mercy. Whatever you want. Whatever you want, I'll do. Hupeko. That's what Mary voiced in Luke 1. Hupeko. Surrender. I submit. Unconditionally, whatever you want, Lord, I'll do in our lives. Whatever you want, Lord, I'll do. Mary, in humility, set aside her own desires, her own agenda, her dreams, completely, totally submitted to God's will for her. She was a young girl. She was 14, 15 years old, most likely. Had dreams, had plans. Had her whole life in front of her. But yes, she said, hupeko. I submit, Lord. To Mary's radical humility today, we want to add another element necessary to position ourselves to see God's work in our lives. Today's attribute, Genesis, the account of Noah, patient obedience. This was not a boat in a bottle that he built. Did you see the size of this thing? It was humongous. It took upwards to 100 years to build it. 100 years to build it. The great scholar and educator, Pastor Andrew Murray, said, just as a servant knows that he must first obey his master in all things, so the surrender to an implicit and unquestionable obedience must become the essential characteristic of our lives. Let me read that again to you. Just as a servant knows he must first obey his master in all things, hupeko, I surrender. So that surrender to an implicit and unquestionable obedience must become the essential characteristic of our lives. Some of you, I'm sure, served in the military. In the military, I did not serve, but in the military, when your commanding officer gives an order, it's not an issue of if. You don't say to that commanding officer, I'll take that under advisement. I'll think about it. If you say, I'll think about it, you're going to end up in the brig. It's not if, it's how high do you want me to jump? It's you do it. Obedience. You're not even supposed to question why. You just do it. Noah, in the 6th chapter of Genesis, exhibited the quality of patient obedience. When commanded to build an ark 3 stories high, 450 feet long, he began to work. And it would have been nice if he'd had a load of neighbors and family and friends, if all these people were to gather around him and helped him. But you know how many people helped him? No one. No one helped him. In fact, it says that instead they came and scoffed at him. They mocked him. Do you know why they were scoffing and mocking? Because it had never rained. Why? What are you doing that for? Why are you building that? Well, it's a boat. What's a boat? Well, God says it's going to flood. They'd never seen a flood. They didn't know what he was talking about. So they scoffed and they mocked. It's never flooded before. It's never done that before. You know what? Just because it hadn't happened before, it doesn't mean God can't make it happen now. Because with God, all things are possible. Although he received no encouragement, he patiently obeyed God. Patiently, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, Noah obeyed God. For upwards to 100 years, that's patient obedience. That is a lifetime for us. That's a lifetime of obedience. Every day doing what's right. Every day doing what God has told you to do. For years, he continued to the work. I ask you this morning, how long are you willing to persist in doing right to see God work in your life? You know, it may take a lifetime. I've known ladies, husbands as well, mothers, fathers, who have prayed for their children to come to the Lord for years, 40, 50 years. How long are you willing to persist? The answer should be as long as it takes. As long as it takes. If we are going to learn the lesson of Noah, we must be willing to obey God for a lifetime. There are some things that God tells us to do that are transitory. God may move on you to pray for somebody in the market. You just hear that still, small voice. God says, you see that person, or maybe you see somebody in the market, and you know they're going through a hard time, so you go up to them, and you say, can I pray with you? And you pray for them, and that's great. But it's temporary. It takes how long? 5 minutes. That's not Noah-type persistence. It's obedience. And I hope you do that and that you're sensitive enough to the Spirit that you are willing to do that. Praise God. But it's temporary. It's transitory. You know and realize that Jesus commanded us to be baptized. As believers in Christ, we're to be baptized. Now, this may take a little more time. After all, there's a process. You got to talk to the pastor. You got to be prepared at the appropriate time. You got to go. And, you know, it's going to take longer. But it's not a long-term investment. It's not as though it's going to take your lifetime to accomplish. However, some of the things God commands takes a lifetime. For instance, God calls each of us to a life of prayer. Not just a one-time shot. Not even, Lord, I'll say grace before every meal. It's great if you say grace. I encourage you to say grace. We should give God thanks for his provision in our lives. But that's really not the point. A commitment to a life of prayer. That's what he's after, because he wants a relationship with you. And that relationship demands communication. Jennifer and I are married. We've been married for, it's not 18 months anymore, it's 20 months! Woohoo, Jennifer! I make it a point to talk with her every day. I talk to her, she talks to me, we have communication every day. Wow. But you know what? If you want a relationship, isn't that what you should do? If I said to you, I never talk to my wife, you'd go, oh no. That's the relationship's not going to last very long. That's right. God understands how important it is to talk to him, that relationship, that communication. And so he says to you, spend some time in prayer, spend some time talking to me and letting me talk to you so that our relationship can grow stronger. It's a lifetime. How long do I have to pray before I can stop? When you get to heaven. But then when you get to heaven, guess what? You'll not want to stop. It's a lifetime thing. It's a lifetime of patient obedience, endurance. The same is true if you want a relationship with your children. Any relationship needs that communication, a lifetime of it, including our relationship with God. God also commands us to live a sanctified life. To live righteously before him. Not just for one day or a week or a month, but to live righteously. How long? For a lifetime? Yes. For a lifetime. Not just to say no to temptation once. Yippee, I said no to temptation today. Well, that's great. It's a start. But be willing to say no to that temptation tomorrow and the next day and the following day and the day after that and the day after. You know, something interesting that happens, the more you say no to it, the quieter that temptation gets. Eventually, we can hardly hear it if we say no enough. The reverse is also true. If you give in to that temptation tomorrow, that voice, that temptation will be stronger. Before long, it's shouting in your ear. So you can't ignore it. So God says, live a life of sanctification, righteousness before me. Patient obedience. Scripture says to not grow weary in good doing. That means a couple of things. First of all, that it's possible for us to grow weary. I wonder how much Noah grew weary. If in the morning he'd say to his wife, oh, I don't want to go work on that boat. My back hurts. It is possible for you to grow weary in well-doing, but Scripture says, don't. Continue to do what is right. Continue to do well. Continue to be righteous. Don't grow weary in resisting temptation. Don't quit. But continue to live in Christ. Because there is an eternal prize set out before us. Continue to run the race, for there is a prize set out before you. Andrew Murray, who I quoted earlier, he was in ministry for over 60 years. So he knows what he's talking about in making his life prayer May not a single moment of my life be spent outside the light of the love and the joy of God's presence. Not a moment without the entire surrender of myself as a vessel for Him to fill full of His Spirit and love. That's patient obedience. A constant surrender to whatever God says I'll do regardless of the consequence. Hupeko, I surrender. Whether people approve or not. You know, as we've said, in Noah's days, they did not approve. In fact, they mocked him. What if you're doing what God wants you to do and people mock you? Are you going to continue to do what's right? I hope so. I encourage you to. Who's more important, them or God? Obey God. We must be committed to obeying God regardless of the consequences, even regardless of how we feel about it. Because at times, as Noah, I'm sure, we don't understand where he's going, what he's doing, where the end result's going to be. But you know what? God always has a plan. God always has a plan, and it's to bless you. It's to prosper you. It's to give you hope and a future. In one of my first churches, I was the junior high guy. I loved being the junior high guy. I was there for a while. And you know, in most churches, the pastor stands at the door and shakes hands with the people as they leave. And the associate pastor stood at the door and he shook hands as people left. In one of our staff meetings, after I'd been there for just a couple of months, they said, you know, Bart, we want to give you something to do. They said, would you be willing to, there's a back door. Nobody goes out that door, but we think a few, maybe, you know, two or three. Would you be willing to go stand at that back door? And, you know, back in those days, there were evangels. Any of you remember evangels? Take some evangels and pass out the evangels and shake their hands. Why, sure, I'll do that. Whatever you want, I'll do. So that first Sunday, I grabbed a few evangels and I headed to the back door. And sure enough, there were two or three, four people. Shook their hands, said goodbye, have a good afternoon. You know, but it felt good because I was doing what I had been asked to do. And anytime, I realized that pastor was not God, but if you're doing what God has asked you to do, it does feel good. Every Sunday I would go, Sunday after Sunday, month after month, year after year. I was there almost 5 years. Every Sunday. And as the church grew, there were more people that were coming. I had between 20 and 25 people that would come. So I had to grab more evangels. It was a great day when I had to grab more evangels. It had been going on for several years, 4 years or so. In one of the staff meetings, the pastor says, I'm very concerned for you. After about 4 years. He says, after we dismiss, I'm at the front door. Lee is at the front door. We're shaking hands. We're greeting the people. And you just go home. Why are you just going home? You know, you're supposed to hang around and talk to people when church is over. He had forgotten completely that he had told me to go to the back door. I'd been doing it for years, and he didn't even realize what I was doing. I says, don't you remember? You told me to go to the back door. I've been doing it faithfully for the last 4 years. Oh, good job. Keep it up. Patient obedience. How long are you willing to be faithful in obeying what you've been asked to do? even when you realize that there's no one watching you. In that case, no one was even noticing what I was doing. Does that make any difference? Not a bit. Not a bit. We were talking about in the military. If you're put on guard duty, it doesn't matter if no one knows you're out there standing guard. You just faithfully do it. You just do it. Same with us. I told you earlier that the Greek word for surrender is hupeko. A word very closely related to hupeko is hupakao. Hupakao means steadfast obedience. Steadfast. It is a kind of obedience that doesn't last a day or a month or even a year. It's the kind of obedience that lasts a lifetime. For if we are truly submitted to Him, we will be patiently obedient to Him. And when we do that, we will find that we are in a position to see the hand of God in our lives. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you this morning for your grace.